Hello, everyone. We are back. This is Hockey Talkie. I'm Travis. I got Jesse here with me.
Yep, feels good to be back.
It's been a while. There's a lot of sickness going around and
sabbatical. People have been sick in and out, but that's not why we were taking a break. There was just nothing really to go over. Most head-to-head leagues ended, I don't know, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure. I won my Yahoo one by some freak way, so.
What was your final record for the Yahoo one?
Well, it was 9-11.
Oh, that's a good record.
Going into the playoffs, but then I 3-0'd the playoffs because someone cut Backstrom somehow during the year, and that was basically the only reason I won. So
that's how you win.
So props to whoever cut Backstrom mid-year. feel good. But, yeah, it's been a while. Playoffs are starting soon, April 12th, we just found out.
Getting exciting.
Surprisingly, there's still lots of bracket stuff to do tonight. There could be four or five different scenarios, which is actually insane for the last day. That just shows how close the NHL season was.
We're going to be talking about all the different... We'll give you some predictions and stuff and like who's going to play who. I'm sure everyone knows it if you're listening to this podcast. I hope you know...
Yeah, at least have an idea.
...that the playoffs are coming and that it's exciting and stuff like that. We got a huge episode for you guys. We threw in tons of questions that we were talking about just kind of at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Players that are good, players that are bad, things we noticed, things that we didn't notice, things we liked, teams that we liked, teams that we didn't like. So we got tons.
Oh, yeah.
So buckle in.
Action-packed.
For a sweet, sweet podcast.
Blockbuster podcast. We are ready.
All right. To get us started off, we're going into the playoffs.
Yes.
There's a lot of different playoff formats. I think a unanimous thing is that everyone stops and restarts at the playoffs. So I don't know if there's a league that goes through the playoffs.
Yeah, I've never heard of one. I don't think it would be good. It would be... I mean, if you could have it for no money, I guess, maybe.
It's just so hard because players are eliminated.
Yeah, it's just like, right, like...
So I think everyone restarts
playoffs.
But we were just talking about, you know, do you load up on one team? Do you pick players all over the place? Do you pick McDavid, Crosby, and Kane and hope that one of them doesn't get ousted in the first round? Or do you load up with Chicago and even take those, like, third or fourth liners and hope they ride to the end? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jesse?
I'm all about the one-in-one, one-west, one-east team.
Mm.
It depends. If you're doing – it's tough to describe. Like, if you're doing a draft – then that's really hard. So for most drafts, I think you just take goalies and you take the one West goalie, the one East goalie, and then you try to get a star. Obviously, the playoffs are like usually safe bets for stars. So for example, like taking a Kane is probably an insane first round pick. Taking a Crosby is a really good pick. Your Ovechkins, et cetera, et cetera. But if you were giving me a playoff pool where I could draft my own players, I would just pick two teams and maybe one fringe star. Like, say McDavid plays 7 games, he's probably still going to get like 12 points in those 7 games, yep, which might be good enough for, I don't know, 8th in the league at the end of the year. So it's kind of tough, but I mean, my advice...
Just said both answers there. You said you load up on one team and that you pick players.
Well, I'm just saying like you take one or two fringe players is all I'm trying to say.
Oh.
I'm like saying there's always value in taking a Crosby, even if you don't think the Penguins are going to go anywhere.
Yes.
Because if they get the 2 rounds, those guys always get points. Whether or not you trust the team is up to you. To be honest, I don't have a lot of playoff pool experience. And I don't really it's tough. Like, I mean, Jesse, here's your playoff pool today. I would take Washington players and I would take, I don't know who the West is winning. That's the tough one for me. The West to me is a crapshoot. I don't like any West teams this year. So let's see. We got
Chicago, Nashville, Minnesota, St. Louis, Ducks, Flames, Oilers, Sharks. Maybe Sharks.
I don't like many. I don't like... That's so tough. Oh, that's so tough. I'd rather just want to load up on East teams.
Okay, here's another scenario, just because that's a hard thing to say. We've been in playoff pools before where you pick the teams.
Right.
And you go by rounds instead of doing the players because it's so sporadic. And like you said, McDavid could have as many points as someone that makes it to the final end.
Yeah.
Do you prefer just teams, picking just one team, maybe go each round and redrafting teams all the way to the end? And
I think players is funner. I think it's cool. I think it's cool to draft a third line trash player. Like I remember my first playoff pool I ever did is I drafted Daniel Zubras. And absolute trash can regular season player. But he, like, earned it the playoff year that the whatever team it was, the Devils. It was the Devils made the finals with Parise and Kovalchuk. Anyway, Zubras was like this god tier but yeah, so like that's kind of fun to like get a sleeper guy, because even like guys like Killorn or sleeper guys for a planet or for the playoffs, they usually break pretty good.
They're not in the playoffs
this year. Yeah, they just got eliminated last night, unfortunately. But that's a tough call. I mean, like, what would you prefer? Do you rather drafting players or drafting teams? I mean, teams is kind of...
You know what? I like teams because we're so focused on the players during the season.
Yeah.
And I like having a little bit of a break in the playoffs and 100%. Enjoying them a little bit more with, like, just teams and not having to scour through every single, you know, game to see if my players are scoring.
Yeah, and the worst is, like, okay, you got this player on this team, but the team you want to win is this other team, right? So you're like, oh, I got the Capitals, but I also have, whatever, Matthews and Nylander. And it's like, I really want this to go to 7 games, but I don't want that stress. I want the Caps to win still. So, playoff pools are fun, but if you gave me an option, I would probably just rather do the teams just for the fun of it.
Yeah. We've actually stopped doing playoff pools, like, more hardcore just to enjoy hockey a little more.
Yeah.
Just to take that stress of the fantasy off our plates and just say, you know, I want my team to win.
Yeah.
Let's watch my team games and
I know the whole hope year, for sweeps. Yeah, the whole year you root for your team, but you can't because it's like you have Holtby. It's like, yeah, I want Washington to get shutouts and wins all the time. It's like, but I don't. I like want every game to be 2-1.
Yeah.
Because I don't want Holtby points, or I don't want. It's the same.
It's nice to take the break. It and is just, nice. You know, enjoy.
But like I said, I'm not saying bad about player pools. I think they're fun. But if you gave me, I just like watching games at this point.
Yep.
And I'd rather just do just good old team pools, to be honest. So
just take a load off.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into our bets. We had a couple bets at the beginning of the year, just things that we were talking through before the season even started.
Yeah, I think I failed a couple, but I think I got a default win on one of them, so.
I don't know if these were really bets or more is just Jesse trying to predict the future and seeing what we got. So firstly, you said that Ladd would get more points than Taves.
Yeah, that I'm glad that we're starting with this one. So what were the final totals on this one?
Well, Ladd ended up with 30 big ones.
Oh.
Taves ended up with almost 60, 58.
Okay, see, that's what I figured. Like, I swear at the beginning of the year I said that it would be like Ladd was 60 points-ish and Taves was like 58 points. I could be wrong, though. But Chicago doesn't have another game, do they? Do they play tonight? It doesn't matter. Even if he gets 2 points, I'm seeing me break 60 points for him, but I don't know if he even plays.
No.
No, okay.
They do not.
That doesn't matter. Ladd, obviously colossal disappointment. But he still, I mean, he turned it on, I guess, for Ladd standards mid-year. I don't know, man.
We talked about this before. He's a good third line.
Yeah, guy. I thought he would play Tavares, obviously, first line, like what he's being paid to do. But yeah, for sure.
0 for 1, Jesse.
One, if we had the little bell here, it'd be ding, 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 Travis points. So, yeah, 0 for 1.
Taves. Well, I don't know if I get a point for you being wrong.
Well, you still took it, I guess.
You're I didn't say either one.
I guess that's true. That's just me.
That was you betting against yourself.
Me against the world. So, yeah, I'm that was a colossal fail on my part.
All right, the next one, we had Patrick Kane versus Jamie Benn.
Okay, at least this one.
This one, you can get a ding,
yeah,
ding,
this
ding.
One I'll take. So, what do we got?
Patrick Kane had 89 points. Jamie Benn only had 70.
Yeah, it feels like Ben even got less. Like, doesn't it feel like Ben just had, like, a totally forgettable season? Like, I feel like I never saw him
Dallas
doing anything. Like, even, like, Sagan and stuff like that. I didn't see any of these guys, like, blow it up. Yeah, I thought Ben would at least get 80 points. I didn't think it would be almost a 20-point swing between them.
I think that Kane got... Well, Kane obviously got less than you projected.
Yeah, I thought he would repeat.
Ben also got less than...
Yeah, it was just
we both
year.
Thought
yeah, absolutely.
For both of them. And then I was looking this up, and it's kind of funny that they both won the scoring title back-to-back.
Yeah.
It was Ben and then Kane, and then we both picked one for this year. And
nothing.
And neither of them are going to win
this
year.
Not even close.
All right, so you win with Kane, 89 points.
Yes.
Next bet that you kind of bet against the world here was that Kane is going to get 100 points with the full season.
Yeah, unfortunately, 11 points shy. I think it was just the goals were down this year. But I think this should be good fantasy to people out there that Kane is legit. If you didn't think before, I feel it's going to be 90-point seasons here and out till he gets the old slump age or whatever. But, yeah, Kane's legit. Panarin's legit. I think that's a big thing to get out of this year was that Panarin is not a just flash-in-the-pan dude. He is the future of that Boston line, or sorry, Chicago line. And if I had to predict the next year, I'd say 92 points Kane, I guess. I don't think I'd say the 100 again, but probably 90 is going to be his safe range. So I think that's really cool for Kane.
Yeah, he is super exciting to watch, and he made a believer out of me this year.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning of the year, I was thinking 75.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Regression, I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he can't be that good, but he is so, super skilled, and he's just getting more experience.
Yeah, he's like, just unreal, yeah.
Cups. He has, what, two cups now?
Two, yeah, yeah.
And, like, their team is still good. The only thing I worry about is the supporting cast getting worse around him because Chicago such a high.
Oh, yeah.
But now Panarin comes in, and it's like, oh, well, we got some supporting cast for you.
Oh, yeah. Kane's line is safe for points, like, as long as he has Panarin. Yeah. And, I mean, he was Anisimov this year, which is a head-scratcher for me. But he still performed very well for his standards. So, going forward, Kane is an absolute safe bet. And I would say, 89, high 80 points is definitely his floor, I would say. So,
yeah. The last one is wash.
I'll give you the wash. This was the epic battle of Kucherov versus Stamkos. I said Kucherov would get more points than Stamkos. When Stamkos went down, I think Stamkos... No, Kucherov had 1 point advantage, I remember. It was 1 point because remember the Dallas.
It was very close.
It was literally point for point every game.
That was going to be our best bet.
I know.
Because it was going to be down to the wire.
Yeah, I was so excited to see this happen. Kucherov got his 40th goal, so that's cool for him. They got a 40-goal scorer with Stamkos being injured. That being said, we'll have to wait for next year, fingers crossed. I mean, Stamkos is now approaching Band-Aid territory as a player.
Which is terrible. Which is
very terrible.
He's so good.
But, yeah, we'll let that go. So we had a 1-1 split, so no $5 each. That's okay.
And then just bet against...
And then, yeah, my self-bet is just... I don't know. If anyone took that bet out in the internet and thought they agreed with me, Lad over Taze, I would love some support. If you thought I was a maniac, then let us know as well.
There we go. Bets are done. I crumpled up the paper.
It is ceremonially destroyed.
Until next year.
We'll have bigger bets.
We got to make more bets.
Yeah, we'll make way more bets.
All right, let's go right into the playoffs this year.
So what do we know for sure?
So Canadians are playing Rangers.
Okay.
That's 100% for sure. Might as well stick with this side. And then Penguins are playing Columbus.
That should be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot of fights in that series.
Yeah, there could be.
Like, a lot.
And then the stuff that we don't know till tonight, Sens and Leafs and Capitals and Bruins.
Yes, they could swap depending on Leafs winning, right? I think that's the main criteria tonight. Right, okay.
Yeah. If Leafs get points, then they will be playing Capitals instead of the Bruins.
Okay.
So there are some interesting matches up here. Let's just go for Canadiens-Rangers first.
Standard boring series. I
probably won't watch any.
Yeah, I probably won't. I mean, I'll watch it, of course, if it's on TV. First round of playoffs is the best night of the year because you get 3 games a night, and I love it. However, I do not care about the Canadiens or the Rangers as teams personally. If I had to pick a winner, I would say Canadiens in six. That's my prediction. Maybe even Canadiens in five. I don't like the Rangers, man. I don't think that they're going to do anything.
Oh, we got to write these down somewhere so we can bet on it.
Okay.
Because I'm voting with the Rangers.
Oh, okay. Well, let's write her down then. So I'm saying, I'll say Canadiens in... Oh, it's five or six, man. I don't know. I'll say six.
Canadiens are scoring at an atrocious rate right now. They are not scoring anything.
For sure.
And Price has been struggling.
Yeah. I just think... Playoff Price, playoff Weber, give it to me. I just hate the Rangers. So
I'm going with the experience of getting to the final.
Yeah.
I think Lundqvist shines, and I think the veterans shine.
Yeah. So this is probably one of the biggest battle of the goaltenders.
I could care less about the teams.
Yeah, I think in all the brackets I'm looking at right now, Price versus Lundqvist is pretty sick. So I think there's going to be a lot of 2-1, 1-0 games. I wouldn't be surprised if there's like 3 shutouts out of the 6 games going for whatever team. So it really comes down to whoever goalie shows up, to be honest.
Yep.
They're both kind of mediocre scoring teams. So
yeah, they're not really high scoring teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go that's my guess. Canadiens, whether it's 5-6 or 7-4 or 5-6, I don't think it's a sweep.
Okay, we're split.
But we'll split on that one, yeah.
Okay, let's go to the Penguins and Columbus.
This
is very interesting.
This one's brutal because the Penguins are destroyed. I mean, obviously, if you haven't been following, Letang is done for 6 months, which might even cut into regular season. I'd have to do the math.
Maybe training camp.
Yeah. Obviously, defense wins championships. We all know this. You've got to have good defense. When your defense is anchored by Streit, Dumoulin,
Schultz,
Kunackle, that is terrifying for me. Olimata as well. Like, I mean, just garbage, to be honest. I don't know who they're going to lean on. Obviously, Schultz is going to be the number one there. Yeah. I don't know what his defensive... Tortorella's telling Columbus, hit every defenseman you can.
Yeah.
Every game. Yes. Grind out their defense. So this is going to be a crazy physical series. I expect lots of fights. I expect Dubinsky and Crosby to spear each other at least once.
This goes to game seven for me.
I just don't like Columbus. Penguins are depleted. Crosby's still there. I don't know if Malkin is going to be back for the playoffs.
Columbus is the worst team in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
Five losses in a row.
Yeah. They'll start Murray. This is hard for me. This is really, really hard for me.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. I'm just going to go with Penguins because the Penguins win all the time, so I'm going to say Penguins in seven. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, too.
Sure.
There's just the experience there that gives the Pens the advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if Malkin comes back in game three or four, he's a playoff all-star. Yes. He has crazy point-per-game averages in the playoffs, so that's my main thing. If Malkin doesn't come back, it's going to be literally guys just throwing themselves at Crosby all day, trying to kill Crosby.
Taking his head off, yeah.
Literally, yeah. It's going to be crush this inexperienced, tiny defense. So,
Pens in seven.
Yeah, that's gonna be a grinder. Whoever wins that is gonna be banged up.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking for any of those players to actually advance to the cup. So.
All right, let's go to the next two that are undecided. We got Sens and Leafs could be a battle of Ontario.
Cool.
And Capitals Bruins.
Cool.
Capitals could also play the Leafs, and it could be Sens Bruins.
Okay.
Sens Bruins is kind of a rivalry, but same with Leafs
Bruins
Ottawa.
Yeah. So I think whoever Capitals play, they win. I'll say that. I'll say it's a pretty good it's a 4-1 series, even a sweep. I think they'll sweep the Leafs, personally. I don't think the Leafs can handle the Caps.
With no Frederik Andersen.
Yeah, and
we don't know what's wrong with him.
And the Leafs
right
have been collapsing in third periods and second periods all year.
They're young.
Yeah, they're young. Oh, for sure. Like, don't get me wrong. I hope the Leafs don't play the Capitals, because I would like to see the Leafs in the second round, personally. I would love to see the Capitals just steamroll the Bruins, because I hate the Bruins. They're not a team that I'm interested in. Leafs Sens would be cool. I think the Senators. No, I think the Leafs would beat the Senators. I think it would be a 7-game, 6-game thing.
I think Senators are least likely to come out of either scenario.
Yeah, agreed.
Washington is most likely.
Yeah. So no real predictions there yet. We'll get into it when we do another pod closer to the actual playoffs starting. But as for early thoughts there, yeah, I'd say the Capitals beat whoever they play. And if it sends Bruins, maybe Bruins. It's just Rask is such an absolute monster.
That's what you're saying. He's a wild card. He could just steal the series.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the other division. Just because we don't know those ones, we don't hold up on them.
Yeah.
Chicago-Nashville, again. This seems like they're meeting in the first round every year.
Yeah.
And Chicago always wins.
Yeah. Well, I think Nashville won last year.
Did they?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember Chicago got eliminated first round last year.
There you go.
So
Nashville's looking up.
Yeah, I think Nashville took them out in 6 or something, or 7. It was some weird number. I think it'll be... Oh, I don't know.
Nashville has no one on their team that scores.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nashville in 7 or 6. I'm going to say Nashville in 6, personally. I think Nashville is getting scoring now. They got Arvidsson's a 30-goal score, which is pretty cool. Forsberg finally got back up to 33 goals. Their defense is still one of the best defense in the year. We get to see Subban in the playoffs.
Yep.
Rene should be just as good or comparable to Crawford, so I don't think it's a big goalie matchup.
It's not a big swing either way for goalie there.
I just don't think that Chicago past the Panarin line is going to do anything. I don't care about Schmaltz. I don't care about Hartman and all these randos that make out the two, third, fourth lines.
They should have picked up Sharp.
They should have done anything.
Should have listened to us.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Nashville in 7 as well.
Yeah. So we'll just, Nashville in some after five games or something. Yeah.
I guess Chicago still has the experience to get a couple, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So. I mean, there'll be probably a few overtime games, I'm sure. I'm sure Keith will get an overtime goal or Seabrook because they always get one,
yeah.
Regardless in the first series. So we'll have to check that out. Next one is another classic repeat.
Yeah, Minnesota, St. Louis.
I think St. Louis is just done. I'm going to say Minnesota wins.
St. Louis is one of the hottest teams going in. They won lot five.
I just feel after gain, because St. Louis made, what, the third round last year?
Yes.
Like they finally got that monkey off their back. They got to the third round. I think they just regress again and just disappear. I just feel like that's just the St. Louis style. So I'll say Minnesota wins in, I'd say almost in five games. I think it's going to be a quick series.
Minnesota's starting to look like a playoff contender, and they show that they built a team this year. I say Minnesota, but I say St. Louis takes a couple.
So you say, okay, like six or seven.
Six or seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Minnesota. And then the last ones is undecided. We got Ducks, Flames, Oilers, Sharks. This could be a battle of Alberta. It could be Flames, Oilers, and Ducks, Sharks. Like, that's like a round that we saw last year, too.
Yeah. If it's Ducks, Sharks, I'd say Sharks win. If it's Oilers, Sharks, I say Sharks win. If it's Oilers, Flames, I say Oilers win. And those are the three scenarios. That would be my guesses. Although a lot of people, that even my friends included, want to see a Battle of Alberta, I don't, just because I want two Canadian teams
to have
the chance to move on.
Yeah.
But if it happens, that'd be probably one of the most hype series in a while. I don't know, as a Canadian, I mean, as someone who lives in Alberta, like, I mean, I guess it could be similar to California teams playing each other, but like having your only two teams in your tiny province, like, play each other in the playoffs is absolutely bonkers. There's going to be the Red Mile set up in Calgary.
Yeah.
The Oilers haven't been to playoffs since 2004, which they made the actual finals against, it wasn't Tampa.
Are you sure it wasn't Tampa?
No, because I think Tampa beat the Flames.
Oh, that was the Flames.
Yeah. I'd have to...
They had Pronger on their team and stuff, Oilers.
Yeah, Horkoff. Horkoff was relevant then, and I don't know. But I'd have to Google that quick. But nonetheless, I don't know.
I don't want to see a Battle of Alberta.
I don't want to see a Battle of Alberta. I just don't know if the Oilers can beat the Sharks. That's just the problem. I think the Oilers are a sick team. I just think their defense is still not good enough. Talbot played amazing this year. But the Sharks are still just a giant, big team. And
yeah.
They're just going to bang you out and just play that grinder Western hockey. So, it's a tough one. We'll have to see when the matchups get set up tonight, and then we'll do some other stuff there.
We'll see, but it's happening quick. Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday the 12th.
Wednesday, everything starts.
Game one of, I imagine, three or four rounds.
Who's your – you think Capitals are going
to
win it all?
Final pick for me would be the Capitals. If I had to pick a second team to win, I would say – oh, man, they all suck. no, I'm just going with the Capitals. Capitals win. This is their year. They're going to get out of the East, I think, pretty safe because I think Penguins are going to get eliminated, which means that the Capitals will play either a destroyed Columbus or a destroyed Penguins, and I think that's an easy second round.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too.
And then – if I had to pick one team out of the other four, Canadians, Rangers, Sens, Leafs, as it is set right now, I don't think any of those teams can beat the Washington. So it's going to be Washington in the final.
Versus? I got Washington coming out of the East as
well. Yeah, Washington Oilers would be the best case scenario because that would be the most hype series ever. But I think it'll be Washington Sharks.
If
I had to guess.
Maybe Minnesota.
Maybe. Minnesota looks good. But I'd say, Washington Sharks would be my... Early prediction. And then I'd say Washington just destroys them in six.
All right, let's move on to things that we've noticed through this year.
Okay.
So we got a bunch of questions written down. Things that we noticed for the year from bad players, good players, teams that surprised, stuff that surprised us through the year. Mm-hmm. We're just going to talk about the whole year in general.
Sure. So let's start off with the no surprise. I'm going to talk about, we just talked about this 5 minutes ago, Evgeny Malkin. no surprise, he played 62 games.
Yep. Yeah, we knew that.
Also, no surprise that he is a god-tier player still. I think he finished, what were we just looking at, 12th or something?
Yeah, yeah.
12th in our fantasy league with 62 games played. So I don't know if it gets any better than that. Oh, sorry, it's not 12th. What was it? 20th. Sorry.
But almost 2 points per game.
Yeah, almost a 2 point fantasy rate per game, which is would put him.
Just can't play.
What does that rate him towards the top there?
Is
there anyone that's close to his 1.97?
There's a bunch of players, but he's one of the highest forwards.
Yeah.
Unreal. For sure. Goalies are two and up like that. But.
Yeah, so if you took our advice and drafted Malkin at the beginning of the year, you had a really good player, you expected.
I'm throwing my hands up in the air because I did.
Yeah, and you got him at super value, I think, in the third round because this is what you know. This is what Malkin is.
Oh, for sure.
It's unfortunate. I mean, 62 games seems almost kind of like on the high end, maybe? I don't know what Malkin's like.
He's 60.
60 games, yeah. You get what you expected. He performed absolutely monsters in those 60 games. If you had him in a week-to-week, hopefully you did okay. Hopefully you got the weeks, and then as soon as you got injured, you moved on kind of thing. But to me, yeah, that's the biggest no surprise of the season is we knew he's going to get injured. Again, classic 20-game season miss, and again, he has, like, amazing point per game.
It's too bad at the end of the year this year.
Yeah, it is.
If he got injured at the beginning and then he helped your team at the end,
but
it was like at the end of the year, it's like, dead Malkin.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, oh, playoffs are starting and I don't have Malkin. So, to me, that was the biggest non-surprise of the year. So I will say that.
Okay, I got a bunch of big surprises.
Okay, yeah, I got a few in my brain as well, so we'll go to yours next.
Okay, Edmonton still playing huge.
Yes.
No claps from Edmonton.
Yeah, no.
Kind of expecting them to run out of steam a little bit, being a younger team. But no. And they're all healthy.
Yes.
They have two people, and they're like third-line guys that are injured on their team right now. If Edmonton stays healthy, they can make a good run.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Health is like number one for the playoffs. I mean, there's nothing else you can do there. Yeah, so what's your thoughts on Talbot? Did you think he would break Fuhr's record? Did you think he would get...
No one thought he was going to break the record.
The 41 wins? Well, once you find out the record was only 40 wins, you're like, okay, it's possible.
it was always possible, yeah. But the fact that they overworked Talbot this year.
Well, yeah, he played
unnecessarily.
Like 78 games or something it feels like. 77 games, probably. I mean, any goaltender on a good team should break that record with that sheer volume of games. Do you think that Talbot is tired for the playoffs?
Yes.
Okay.
He's lucky that he gets the couple days break, and they have been starting their backup now that he broke the record.
Because I don't know if this is going to be one of those stories of the playoffs where all of a sudden first round Talbot lets in like five goals game one, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
They have no one else to go to, so.
Yeah, we can't start Brassard, but like we can't like not play Talbot. It's like it's... I don't know. That's my biggest concern for Edmonton going forward is like, I understand that. Or maybe Talbot is just a freak athlete. Maybe he's just a quick man. Like maybe he can play 77 games and just still perform in the playoffs. Like, I mean, I have no sample size on this guy in the playoffs. I don't know. It just freaks me out to see a goalie play that many games. So we're going to have to definitely keep a track of that forward. So to me, that's a pretty big surprise. I didn't think they would lean on Talbot as heavily as they did.
Yeah. And they actually rounded out their team nicely with additions. Their third line is Desharnais, Pouliot, and Cassian.
Yeah, that's a good third line.
That's how you build like a solid team, that depth thing that the Penguins did, right? So they're going to be exciting to watch. I'll throw another one out there just because Pasternak came out of nowhere for Boston.
Yeah, Pasternak...
We don't have to talk long on this. I just want to throw his name out there because I have him.
Yeah, he did fantastic. He went pretty much undrafted in our league. And then you picked him up, I think, in the next day kind of thing when we were doing like a little
preseason
shuffling kind of thing. Yeah, Pasternak he's the future of Boston. He's got to get signed here soon. Hopefully Boston doesn't pull a Sagan and let him go. I don't know what his goal total ended up being, but it was like high 30s for sure. I don't know if he cracked 40, but I think it was pretty close.
38 or something.
Yeah. Anyway, he looked fantastic. I mean, Marchand got 39 goals. Pasternak got, 38 goals or something like that. And it's kind of weird to see a team like Boston having like almost 240 goal scores.
He's at 34. 34 and 36. He had 70 points this year.
34. Okay. He was also suspended and injured a bit as well. So, Yeah, so predictions going forward for Pastrnak. You think he cracks 40 next year? You think
I told you I want to keep him.
Think he becomes a 40-40 man, like an 80?
Could be. Could be.
I think so. Yeah, I'd say that was a big surprise this year. I think a lot of people expected Pastrnak to do well, but not 70 points well.
Yeah.
Myself included, I thought he would get like a 55-60 point year, like just kind of, you know, slowly progressing. But nope, that was not what happened. He exploded and became literally the most prolific scorer on that team outside of Marchand.
Yeah, coming out of nowhere. You got another one? More surprises?
Surprises. Since I'm a Caps man, I will talk about people underrating Backstrom. Backstrom finishes top five in scoring again. Went late in our league. I'm sure wasn't too excited in most center leagues. He's still good, people. I know this is funny to say, even with Ovechkin having a down year, Ovechkin finishes with, I think, 35 goals, 35 assists. I think he's just under 70 points at the moment. They play again tonight. I don't think there's going to be a hat trick or 4 or 5 goal performance to crack the 40 mark, which is sad because last year he was at 47 goals and got the hat trick in his last game to get the 50. So to me, that is a surprise. I didn't think Ovi would regress from 50 to 35. That's a disgusting drop in goals, in my opinion.
That's a disappointment. You should have put that in the biggest disappointment.
Yeah, I have other bigger disappointments. but goal scoring wise, it was, yeah, Ovi was definitely more of a playmaker this year. I do think he's going to bounce back next year, though. I think that he'll get 44 goals next year. I think he'll come back. I don't think the 50 goals are coming again.
Probably. Do you still think Backstrom will be undervalued next year?
Backstrom will be undervalued till his career ends.
For the rest of his life?
Yeah, for the rest of his life. For some reason, when people think of centermen, they don't think of Backstrom as the elite. It's always Crosby, Taves, and blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. Stamkos, that kind of type of player. So yeah, early hype for next year. Just take Backstrom again if you can. Just try to get him third round, you know?
You're not going to like it, but just do it.
It's not going to feel good. It's not going to look good on paper, but when you finish top five in scoring again, you're going to look like a genius. So I didn't have him this year for some reason. I just didn't. He just never had the opportunity to draft him, I felt. And so I just lost him on the way back. And so,
yep.
But yeah, that he's not a surprise, but he's a surprise to most people that play fantasy because he's just not that guy you expect to just finish top five sneakily.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I got two that are just general.
Okay.
Like big surprises for the year. I'm not going to dwell on this one too much, but rookie class this year was amazing.
Best I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Hands down.
And if you watch any sort of sports center or something, yeah, that's all you've heard.
Yeah.
Is how amazing this rookie class was. And watching it was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Matthews got the empty net goal for 40. Yeah. 40 goals. Are you kidding me? Incredible. Absolutely, yeah, incredible.
And then we won't talk about too much about that because you guys know all the players and stuff. Yeah. Only two Canadian teams didn't make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, Vancouver, we very expected it to.
Yes. At
the end of the year. That team is still beat up. And Winnipeg.
They had a chance.
They had times where they looked great. I mean, Laney played well, obviously, since we're talking about rookies. But goaltending just sunk that team, man.
Yeah.
Sunk that team. So I don't know what they're going to do to address that in the offseason, but Winnipeg is an awesome team. I love watching Scheifele, Ehlers, Laney, Wheeler. I mean, the list goes on. Bufflin, the team is so cool. Truba. But you can't win when you got Pavlik or Hellebuck just sinking your team. So I think there's going to be a huge change there, and we might see them back in the playoffs. Vancouver, I don't think not for a while, though.
No, they need to do some things there.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you one more since I have tons written down here. Kuznetsov got back on track.
Kuznetsov did. He did. He get back on track. I think he finishes with 60 points.
I was going to say, that's a surprise for me because I
didn't is a surprise.
See it because turning around.
I thought he would just stick to his 50-point pace. He still had a massive underachieving season. Colossal, massive underachieving, in my opinion. I have no predictions for him next year. I need more time. I need to see the playoffs. I need to see what he does. I think he's always going to be that semen scary type player for Washington. Ooh. And it kind of freaks me out. I thought he'd be more consistent, but this year was like 100% proof that he's like got that Russian up and down scariness. So
yeah.
I'm not going to hype him too much. I'm going to watch the playoffs, see how he does. He had an abysmal playoffs last year. I think he had one goal in 14 or 16
games. He didn't do very well. Yeah, he was a ghost.
Yeah, it was just the worst thing I've ever seen. So, Kuznetsov was obviously a massive disappointment for me as well, since we're talking about...
No, I said surprise.
Oh, yeah. It
was surprise that he turned it around. It was
a surprise. I mean, yeah. He had 80-some points last year. A lot of people predicted him, even myself, to re-get that. It was just, yeah, I don't know. So I'll say another biggest surprise is Oshie. Oshie did really well.
Yep.
He finally eclipsed his point total. He has new career high in goals and in points. So that was a big surprise after playing kind of, you know, 50-point hockey last year. Wasn't that good there. Other big surprises for me are Philadelphia. Not the team, but the players. Drew had a terrible season.
Yep.
The worst season I've seen Drew have. Simmons played good. He did okay. He got 30 goals again. He did exactly what I would expect Simmons to do.
Yep.
But man, Drew is a massive disappointment this year, and I'd say that's a big surprise
for me. I have all of Philly as biggest disappointments. Oh. They were the only team with a 10-game win streak that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, like ever. Yeah. You win 10 in a row and then
you can't make the playoffs. You
just somehow can't put it together for a playoff season.
All right, I'll give you another surprise. Brian Elliott turned around the Flames.
Yeah,
no single-handedly doubt. Turned around the Flames. The Flames were not in playoff contention. Yeah,
and then they play like 13 in a row. And
Chad Johnson took the starting job. Yeah. We hyped up Chad Johnson, drop Elliott, pick up Chad Johnson. Yeah, yeah. And now Elliott's back in the crease, and they're winning like wildfire.
Yeah, Elliott is the number one there, as he should have been, as they hope he will be.
I'm shocked that they turned around this year.
I thought for sure there was going to be like that classic story where like, oh, goaltending, this was a bad thing. They missed the playoffs. But no, he goes like 11-2 in like whatever month it was, December or February.
It was in the new year.
It was in some new year. Yeah. Sorry. Probably February, March. I think it was March. Yeah. I think it was last month that he was absolutely out of control. And they won like 11 out of 13 games in a row with him.
Yeah. Took his job back and then.
Yeah. It's fantastic. If he can keep it up in the playoffs, that'd be great. For sure. I mean, I remember the same thing. We're like talking about this. We're like, man, like, okay, Chad's doing kind of bad now. Elliot's, can you go back to Elliot after how terrible he's been? Like, what do you do if you're the Flames, right? So, but no, Elliot definitely stayed the ship, and that was a huge surprise.
Yeah, that was because he was
not looking good.
Do you got any more surprises? I got one more.
Let's see. Who else was a pretty big surprise this year?
I can hit you with my last surprise.
Yeah, give me your last one. Maybe I'll think of something on the way.
Okay. My last surprise is how amazing the 2015 draft was. Do you remember who the 2015 draft was? I can read it to you. I got it right here in front of me, surprisingly.
Well, who's number one?
McDavid.
Oh, okay.
Followed by Eichel.
Yeah. Okay.
Followed by Strome. Followed by Marner. Hanifin. Zacha. Provorov. Werenski. And then Ratnan.
That's actually
rounded out the top 10.
All those are NHL players, which is cool.
And they're all doing amazing.
Yeah. I mean, Zacha, but he's on a terrible team. But the rest have been like, those are all players on their team. Ratnan is going to be number one going forward.
These are all players that we have mentioned in the podcast about how well they're doing this year.
Yeah. That's actually pretty nuts.
That's one draft year.
That 10 out of 10 are actually like have roster spots and are playing in the NHL and have pretty prolific roles. Yeah, that's unreal. It shows you what kind of value they get. I mean, like, getting Marner over Strome seems pretty genius. He's been performing like an absolute maniac. Getting Werenski and Provorov where they got those is pretty sick.
And even, like, Hanifin, we're starting to hear a lot about. Eichel did amazing for Buffalo, being just on a terrible team.
Eichel would be the best player in recent history if it wasn't for McDavid. It's just unfortunate. Even when I remember they're hyping up the draft year itself, and it's obviously McDavid's number one, but people were just being able to underrate the generational talent that is Eichel. Like, there's freak talent that's like once every like, I don't know, millennia that is McDavid.
Yeah.
And then there is like the generational talent, and Eichel is that player. He literally carries Buffalo on his back. If he plays a full season, he will get 80, 90 points. Like, he's an absolute monster.
Eichel in the last 5 years, like barring McDavid, would be number one.
Yeah,
like almost every year in the past, just because he's that good. Just McDavid,
It's just, what can you say? This is McDavid, right? That is a huge surprise. I didn't think that draft year was that strong. 10 for 10, all playing in the NHL, all having like solid to huge roles on their team.
Yeah, yeah. I just looked at it and I was just blown away.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to disappointments for the year. We talked about some of them. I talked about Philly having the 10-game win streak and not making the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a pretty big disappointment for them.
Tampa missing the playoffs after being in the cup final.
Yeah, played a lot of mediocre hockey in the middle of the year, and that's what happens. Even though they went 7-1-1 in their last games to try to get back into the race and looking very well during.
Yeah.
Still huge disappointment, yeah.
Colorado had 22 wins all year. Ugh. With a goal differential of minus 111.
That is so bad.
It is horrendous.
Only way to go up is up, I guess. If
when you're at the bottom, you can only go up.
I mean, you're in the Mile High City, but you are the absolute bottom of the league. This team is brutal. Expect massive changes. Being in Duchesne, Landeskog, something's got to go. Barry, even. Goaltending's got to change. I mean, everything's got to change.
Yeah.
There's really no way around it. It's not like a specific area. When you're a minus 111 goal differential, that is just the most pathetic thing I've ever seen.
I think Ratanen and Barry are the only guys that I would keep.
McKinnon for sure. Those
two. Oh, McKinnon.
Yeah. Ratanen, McKinnon, Barry should be kept because you need at least one puck-moving defenseman. But, I mean, that team is in dire straits. There's no depth on this team.
111 goal differential. Minus 111.
Yeah.
Is that insane?
That's unreal. That's like, I feel like if I was in the NHL, my team would have that. but not like professionals. Like, seriously, like, it just shows you how insane the talent in the NHL is. That if you have even a slightly awful team, this is what happens. You get buried. Like,
yeah.
Buried. Brutal team. My biggest disappointment is a player, not Ladd, it would be Anze Kopitar. Anze Kopitar has never had a season less than 70 points or on pace for 70 points in the lockout season. All of a sudden this year finishes, I think he's in like a mid 50 point range. He's a huge candidate for me for a bounce back. I'd keep an eye out for him next year because he's just too good. But he by far was my biggest disappointment of the year because I draft him every year because he is so steady. He is so just a rock for 70, 74 points. And this is the most off year I've ever seen. So sign of things to come. Hopefully not.
I was going to say, does that affect your draft next year?
Honestly, no. I probably sound like a crazy man. But having as many literally consistent 70-point seasons, I think he should get back on track. But he was my for sure biggest disappointment of the year. And I think a huge reason why the Kings didn't make the playoffs. Couldn't do anything out of it. Like, Carter should not be the number one scorer on your team. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense.
If next year we're side by side in the draft and I have a choice between Kopitar and another 70-point guy, I'll let you have Kopitar.
My man.
All right. Another disappointment for me was two teams, Florida and Dallas. Both looked poised for good runs. Both made solid additions. Both have lots of scoring.
Yeah, I would say Florida more so than Dallas.
Don't make the playoffs. They just can't do it.
But yeah, that's either of those teams should not be where they are right now. It's unbelievable. Florida is a stacked team. Maybe not stacked goaltender wise, but they're still a really good team.
They got Luongo and Reimer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, that's good enough for this year, right? Exactly. Yeah. Dallas, they didn't change their goaltending, so for me, they don't get any credit for me. Letting Bishop go for nothing is despicable when you still grind out Lettinen and Niemi. Like, come on.
That still could change.
Yeah.
Now that LA's done and Bishop's sitting there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with Bishop. I would love to see some offseason moves. There's no way that team can start the 2017-18 season with those current goalies.
Yeah.
I think the fans would riot. I mean, I would riot. I mean, I'd be mad. I'm not even a Dallas fan, but I'd be mad.
Yeah.
For the populace, knowing that why?
Just seem like they don't really care.
Yeah. Why? Yeah, exactly. It's like, we got this Ben, we got Sagan, and we're just going to do nothing about it. Like, why? We're just, you know, whatever. Who cares? I'm getting, like, frustrated thinking about it. It's just so brutal that this
team
didn't address any issues.
All right, we'll move on to the next one. The biggest disappointment by far for me this year. We were talking about this. Everyone's been talking about it. NHL players are not going to the Olympics.
Yes.
That's terrible for the sport of hockey.
I know. It's like, we want to make the sport grow. We want to do this. But literally the biggest thing ever, every 4 years, we're not going to have our players there. Like, I mean, come on. Like, who tell me you didn't, like, lose your mind Crosby scoring the golden goal? You didn't, like...
Yeah.
Last Olympics kind of sucked, in my opinion. I think Canada had no competition. It was just like one of the most steamrolly competitions I've ever seen. But it's still the Olympics. It's still sweet. And denying a player to play for their country at the absolute pinnacle zenith of the sport.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, who doesn't dream after... Oh, my goodness. It makes me, like...
Representing your country. But yet, like, this is NHL...
The elite of the elite. Going there, oh.
But the NHL wants to have games overseas.
Right.
Oh, we're going to do a preseason game in China.
Yeah, they're playing in China.
And it's like, okay, but you won't let them go to the Olympics?
Yeah.
to play. Like, I understand, like, the managers and owners and stuff, you don't want to injure your players at the Olympics. You don't want to lend your players to have, like, a season-ending surgery or something like that.
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, if I owned an NHL team, I would be that guy saying, we're not going to the Olympics. Because at the end of the day, you want your team to compete. You want to make money. You want your players on the ice. You don't want the chance of, like, a Tavares going down, like what happened the 1 year. And I get it. It's a business. You want to keep your product on the ice. You want to get as much money as you can. However, as a human being and as someone else, it's insane to deny people that put their life, literally their whole life, into one sport and then get denied because of business side of the aspect. I mean, that makes me sick.
Yeah.
I know I talk about the Capitals a lot, but I will mention it again. A huge shout out to Ted Leonis for saying that he will not stop Ovechkin and other players on his team if they want to go to the Olympics. He said he'll take the fine. I thought that was one of the coolest things I've ever read in my life, and I hope a lot of people follow suit. I don't know what's going to happen, if there are going to be some bans. It's going to be a very bizarre year. Because
that's an interesting thing, is that if – so Ovechkin goes –
right.
Okay, I know, like, Crosby has sat out, like, you know, All-Star breaks and Olympics and stuff to get healthy and use that time wisely to better the Penguins.
Yeah.
But Ovechkin never has. Ovechkin's always like, I want to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do all these things. I'm going to go show off hockey. He's like, I'm a beast.
I can't just not play for Russia. I mean, this is my country. I can't, like...
And I bet you what they were hoping with that, with coming out and saying, you know, well, oh, I'm still going to go. What if I get fined? Doesn't matter. Yeah. Fine me, suspend me for a couple games or whatever. I'm still going to play.
Yeah.
Is that going to open the floodgates up for other players to do that? Or is it just going to be like, oh no, just Ovechkin's going, we're still going to all abide by the rules?
There's been a few owners I've been told that are absolutely refusing. They won't let anyone go. I know even Erik Karlsson was told that he can't go. I think that's what I was told, is that Melnyk said that he's not going to give him the clear to go. So I think it's a specific owner thing. I don't know. It is such a weird gray area. Another thing I mentioned to you is, like, how will this affect fantasy next year?
Yeah.
Because Ovi's going. And Ovi's going to go to the Olympics. He's going to miss 2 weeks of the regular season. So you're already knowing going into the next season that this guy's going to miss
eight games,
10% of the season. And how do you draft people knowing that? Like, how freaky of a next season is it going to be knowing that you could just lose your stars and have the NHL continue playing just man games lost?
Yeah,
and I think this is the biggest curveball I've ever seen in my life for fantasy in hockey. I don't know what to do. Like, I own Ovechkin. He's my favorite player. I will keep him next year. But knowing that he already is going to miss eight games is a hard pill to swallow.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
And everyone else is gaining points.
Yeah.
It's not a break.
No, it's not a break.
Everyone else is gaining those eight games up on you.
Yeah.
And then, barring injuries, like, bad stuff could happen.
Yeah.
If he gets a slap on the wrist with a couple game suspension from the league for... Yeah.
I don't know what kind of suspension they can give. I don't know if it's an owner-imposed suspension. I don't know if they can target the players. I don't know any of these rules, man. And if anyone knows the rules, hit us up. I'd love to hear. But this is going to happen next year. There are going to be some freaky, weird stuff once the Olympic happens.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of holes in teams because they're going to be gone.
Yeah, and especially those star players.
Yeah, and the league's just going to march right on. And it's going to be 10 games or whatever, how long the Olympics lasts. I'm praying that the Olympics somehow sees this and are like, okay, we're going to condense the hockey into 4 days and just be like, okay, no round robin, bang, start, bang, start, bang, start, gold medal, bang, 5 day event, get them back kind of thing. I don't know if it would happen that way, but.
Okay, here's something I literally just thought of as you're saying that. What if they take their bye week?
That's cool.
I just thought of that now.
Yeah.
What if they put all their bye weeks into 1 week for the Olympics? Then that's pretty much opening the door for players to just say, okay, I'm going to peace out.
Yeah.
There's no decision there.
But that's not a bad idea. I mean, obviously this year had that week mandatory off.
Yep. Yep.
Why not just have it all at once? Hammer the Olympics out in a week. Obviously it's kind of, the word I'm looking for is, I don't know. It doesn't give them a bye week for players that play.
Yeah.
So no one gets the rest, right?
But it gives the players the decision, I guess.
But it's like a choice. Yeah. Do you want to go to the Olympics or do you want the rest of the week off? Actually, it's not a bad idea. I think I like that a lot. That'd be a really good solution, I think.
You heard it here first.
I think that'd be a really good idea. I actually like that a lot. Yeah, right. But going forward, that is weird, man. That's a weird situation. I just don't know what's going to happen.
Overall, for hockey, for international hockey, for getting more people interested, having just your amateurs go is not going to cut it. But everyone else is just amateurs competing in skiing and stuff like that. So let's move on.
It's so hard. It's such a weird... I mean, you don't see... There's no NFL Olympics, right? There's no... Like, I mean, there's basketball Olympics, and obviously USA just crushes every year, and that's the same kind of thing, like, whatever. But, yeah, whatever. We'll get into that.
Let's keep going on. All right. So let's talk about some players that we took notice to this year.
Okay.
Some players that jumped out at you that weren't a surprise, but players that you're like, I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind for next year, and I'm going to snag this guy.
Yeah.
No one's going to see it coming.
I have two already.
Go ahead. I'll let you start.
I'm sure you had these written down yourself, but I will say Cam Atkinson and Wennberg, 100%.
Oh.
Atkinson,
yes,
absolutely is the apple of my eye now. 30 goal scorer, Columbus, Wennberg, top line center. These guys went probably very mid to very end of most drafts, including ours. So, yeah, no other players this year have gathered my attention more than those two players, honestly. It is literally... Atkinson first, then Wennberg second are players that I'm looking to target next year. I don't know when, but they're going to be on my team next year.
You're going to have to pay a price for Atkinson.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a top five pick for Atkinson. It's going to be unbelievable. But those guys have captured my attention 100%.
I like it. I like it a lot. Okay, I'm going to go with Anders Lee.
Yeah, 30 goal scorer.
30 goal scorer for Islanders.
Yeah.
And you playing with Tavares. Did Tavares make another... mediocre player good, like Okposo and these guys that he's had in the past?
Yep.
Or is he actually really good? 30 goals this year, I think I would like to target him like mid rounds, maybe before 10 or
honestly,
around 10 or something.
You could even get him later again. I'm almost positive that most people are like, yeah, whatever. It's just like another player to mention on that tier is like Richard Rakell.
Oh, I have him on my list too.
Yeah,
33 goals.
Most stealthiest 30 goal scorer ever. How many people outside of hardcore fantasy players know who Richard Rakell is? You think anyone? And then, he's a 30-goal scorer. Everyone should know him. He's an elite player. And, yeah, it's funny you have him on your list because I was talking to my friend Adam about him, and I was saying, is there anyone that just you never know of who has 33 goals?
Yeah. No, he's a huge one, too. I also have Oscar Klefbom.
Yeah, he put together a really good season.
He has... 10 fantasy points over the last, since this month has started.
That's pretty good.
Which is nice. I like the Hall for Larson trade now because Larson's playing the more defensive pair with Klefbom, and Klefbom is the more offensive guy that they give the shot to.
Yeah, no, I was a very vocal proponent of that trade. Obviously, Hall for a defenseman seems kind of a bummer, but they're in the playoffs. They're looking great. All hail Trelly. I mean, you got to give it to him. He's a genius. So, but yeah, Klefbom has definitely embraced the offensive role. We sort of both knew going in that Larson was never going to just turn into an offensive dynamo. No. There's just no way. They're going to train him to be that big number one Swede, get in the way, block the shots, hit people, punish. Maybe points will come later in his career, but Klefbom has definitely taken over that power play role, and he looks great.
And as long as Oilers keep firing like this.
Yeah.
He is going to be, and he's playing number one power play unit.
Yep.
They moved Sakara down and down stuff. The they moved him down now. Klefbom and Larson are on the top line.
Yep.
Which is, so that's someone I'm targeting as my second defenseman or third defenseman, because he is a number one there.
Yeah, he's number one on a team playoff bound team. I will say another guy, since you mentioned a defenseman, Hedman. Goes from 50-60 point guy to a 70 point defenseman without Stamkos.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Holy moly. We all knew this guy was good, but this is finally the year that he's finally like this. We've been drafting
Hedman. He for real? Is he for real now?
This is it, man. This is for real. He's that big. He's growing to his whatever he needed to do. Hedman should be, I think, a top three defenseman in the league. I think if I had to pick three, I would go Burns, Carlson, and Hedman. Those are my top three defensemen in the NHL, and I'd give them the same sort of fantasy relevance.
Yeah.
This should skyrocket. I don't think anyone's player rank should skyrocket higher than Hedman has happened.
Yeah. I probably agree with that.
Because I don't know if anyone else is going to move. I mean, there might be some forwards that move up, like whatever, 100 spots kind of thing. But for like just breaking that elite tier, like he's now, I don't know what else to say. He's an absolute monster in the draft, and he should be going in the first two rounds of hockey pools.
And where he went,
if not first round.
Yeah, where he went last year in ours was
like sixth, seventh, maybe.
Like a later defenseman, like
when did you get him?
Giordano went before him. Carlson, even Ekman-Larsson went before him.
Yeah, and these are players I would have agreed with last year. I would have been like, yeah, for sure, give me Ekman-Larsson before you give me Hedman.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay.
Doughty, Vatanen, Josi, Yandel.
Yeah, Subans and stuff like that, yeah.
Crazy. All right, I got two more forwards. I'll go back to the forwards here.
Sure.
Sheary.
Yeah.
Playing on a line with Crosby. Is he going to be the real deal? I'm saying yes.
I say yes. He's going to stick on that line.
Yep. He's going to be a 60-point guy next year easily.
Yeah.
I think he skyrockets. I don't know if he was drafted in many leagues last year.
He wasn't even drafted in our league.
Nope. 150 players?
Yeah, 150 players. Yeah, 170. No, sorry. Whatever. Some 145, I think, forwards, and he didn't crack it. So he will be there next year. Absolutely. He plays fantastic on Crosby's line.
The only thing about him is you're going to have to pay up because people recognize Crosby's talent a little more. Yeah. So you're going to have to try to pull the trigger a little earlier. Don't wait on him.
Yeah, this is not a guy you're going to be able to get 150th like we get. So, yeah, he did really well. Obviously, Guentzel's doing really well on that line as well. But I don't know. He's the coin flip for next year. I wouldn't go too hard on him. But Sheary is definitely, I think, the lock for the Crosby on that one.
Which is sweet. Arvidsson, we talked about him briefly for a second, leading the Nashville Predators in points.
Yeah.
So he came out of nowhere and is putting up, having a stellar season.
Yeah. He looks like the real deal, too. I think he's legit. He should be drafted for sure next year.
Like two pools. Super young guys.
Yep.
These guys are young, and they're just, like, putting up points like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Arvidsson did absolutely phenomenal.
He's the first person I'm drafting on Nashville, if anyone.
It's pretty close. I mean,
I'm not taking Neil.
Yeah, well, Neil's undraftable. Forsberg goes through heck of slumps.
Yeah.
And he's terrifying. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a good one.
Okay, my last one. My last one is a goalie, if you can think of a goalie after mine.
Biggest breakout goalies, eh? Obviously.
Players that you notice from this year that you want next year.
Bobrovsky, obviously.
Bobrovsky.
Bobrovsky came pretty low on the radar this year. I think he was a third goalie on one
third
goalie on one of the teams, which is a lot because we draft three goalies. That's 27 goalies. So he probably went around 16th or something.
Oh, very late.
Yeah, Bobrovsky, he's legit, man. He played, if he's healthy, the team's winning. I don't know when he's going to go next year, but he definitely caught my eye as a goalie that, okay, Jesse, Bobrovsky should be someone you should be targeting from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah, phenomenal player. He's definitely my breakout goalie. He did just amazing. I mean, outside of Talbot, obviously, but for me, the number one guy was for sure Bobrovsky. He caught my eye.
He's going to win the Vezina this year.
It's pretty close. Sure. It's pretty close, yeah.
And the Hart?
The Hart is up for debate, just because McDavid is the reason they're in the playoffs and he has 100 points. I think there's no easier Hart vote in the long time than for McDavid, just by default.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because a lot of players had crazy good seasons and heartworthy seasons, Bobrovsky including.
Yeah.
But I think that even if you asked me today, I would still put McDavid's name on the ballot.
Oh, it's on the ballot.
For knowing sure. What I know, I still, if you say, Jesse, who's your heart vote? It's still sadly, I'm throwing it to McDavid, no matter how good the goaltenders were this year. Yeah.
The reason I said Bobrovsky is because we were talking about this before.
Yeah.
His numbers are comparable to like Hasek's numbers
when he won the Vezina. Yeah.
And the Hart.
And the Hart. Yeah.
So, I mean, like if Hasek's going to win the Hart, then who is here now that's going to dethrone that? Yeah,
what better do you have to do to get a Hart?
It has to be McDavid,
yeah,
I guess.
But, yeah, that's so tough.
All right, last one. Last two I got here, the goalies. Vasilevskiy, we don't need to talk about that because we've talked about that many times
before. Yeah, he's a legit one. That's all you can say. Draft him as a one next year.
The one I wrote down, though, is Halak, ?
Yeah, Halak definitely took control of this team for the last 9 games. I think he's back. But I don't know in what capacity. I still think Halak is a better starter than Greiss of what we've seen. But it's still the Islanders and it's still weird. It's still,
making their run to the playoffs, he was like 11-2 or something.
Yeah, he basically
carried after his little stint down in the AHL. Yeah,
Bridgeport.
Like what? I don't know if Halak is back, but he's someone that I'm looking at because I think he's going to fall a little bit and he might be a sneaky third goalie or second goalie.
100%. 100%. If Halak stays on the Islanders next year and they don't do anything to get a number one, which I don't think they can. I don't think there's any number one goalie potential to go to the Islanders, honestly. So if Halak's the starter again, draft him as a starter again and try to get him as your third goalie. And
the fact that they didn't move him or anything yet.
yeah, no one picked him off waivers. No one tried to do anything for him. He rotted in the AHL, and he's back and played phenomenal hockey. Still got in him.
He played good in the AHL, too.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was awful, awful. He just, you know, wasn't doing well, and they thought they'd just give Grice the shot as a number one.
All right, let's move on to players that we noticed in a bad way.
Okay.
So players that you were like, oh, this guy is good, or someone that you're like, I'm going to keep an eye on him, see if he does anything.
And then just didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything.
So I'll start with Ladd. We'll get that out of the way.
Yep.
Ladd for sure. Thought he'd do well.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, colossally bad season. We can move on. So what do you got?
The number one that I have on here is Carey Price is human.
Yeah.
He's been struggling. He had a break when they were just horrendous.
Yeah.
And then he took a couple days off or whatever and gave some starts to Montoya. And then he came back stronger than he was.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not as, like, dominant as he has been in the last past years.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just Montreal or if it's him himself.
Yeah. I can't answer that question. Same thing. He always looks bulletproof. This year he looked, yeah, I would say very human. Will that change drafts and stuff next year? Unlikely. I still think he's a top two goalie.
Yeah.
I don't know what else he can do, but he definitely did not blow our minds. I would agree.
Yeah. I also got, let's get Hossa out of the way. Career low in points with 45.
Even with that crazy early year stretch where he was like the hottest player in the NHL.
Yeah.
He still finishes with what we expected, like just terrible points.
Yeah. I think Hossa's probably undraftable, 40 points next year.
Yeah, I've never had Hossa on my team in my life, and it's not going to change next year. I would say he should fall out of most drafts. Even ours with 150 forwards, he shouldn't even be draftable there.
I don't think so either. I put Bobby Ryan on this list, 24 points.
Ooh,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's injured, but 24 points, man.
24 points on a team that scores lots.
Yeah, it's not like there's a...
Stone, Hoffman, Brassard, yeah. Pajot, Turris.
All these guys score, yeah. Carlson, obviously, as well, yeah.
Buff, or they not know. Who else are they got on the back end? Fanouf,
yeah. 24 points, eh?
On a great team.
Yeah, on a playoff team. No excuse. 24 points for what he's getting paid. That is despicable. I wonder if he's a buyout candidate, because that is just brutal, brutal points.
He might be. Do you got anyone else that disappointed? I got one more.
Obviously, I said Kopitar earlier. He was a huge disappointment. I would say, I guess one of the ones I mentioned, like I said, Drew was a huge disappointment. Kopitar was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, Giroux is a big one too for me.
Defense-wise, I'm trying to think. Subban, there you go. There's my biggest disappointment. Subban. I drafted Subban second overall with my pick. Thought he would show up. He did not.
He did nothing.
Bounce back for next year? Maybe. I would say almost no.
Subban's not a high point getter, though. He never has been.
Well, he was legit on Montreal. He had like 50 and 60 games once or something like that. I mean, I thought he would get utilized differently. I don't know if the coach is saying...
That's true.
I don't know what's going on, but he, for my team, for sure, obviously, Kopitar, like I mentioned, but Subban for sure. For what I paid for Subban, he was my absolute worst disappointment. He was injured for a bit, sure, small sample size there of injuries, but he did not ever get traction and just, I thought it'd be power play goal, power play goal, power play goal. I thought he'd be Weber 2.0, but they just, someone to look out for next year, but he's my biggest disappointment of this year because of what I paid for, and I'm sure a lot of people paid for, which would be a top three pick for this guy, and getting absolutely bottomed out by a top three pick is what sucks the most, and Subban was my biggest disappointment this year.
Yeah, you moved him quarter of the way or halfway through
the season? Yeah, I traded him 20 games in probably or something.
He just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah, you just watch enough games. He didn't look good there, and that was the end of that.
Okay, my last one, player disappointed, was Parise or Parise.
Oh, good old Parise.
42 points in just under 70 games.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying this. I
don't think he's draft.
He's undraftable is a hard term because he's like one of the most talented players ever. But what do you do with this guy? I've never owned him. I don't want to own him again next year. I don't recommend other people own him next year. But he will be drafted before you think about it, and that's the problem.
Yeah,
you'll be like, oh, man, Parise could be good value here in a few rounds, and then he'll be taken by someone in like the seventh round.
Someone else will do it. That's living in the past a little bit
just
more.
Just let someone else draft Parise. That's usually the keys to winning, is let someone else do it. We have a habitual Parise drafter in our league.
We just let him do it every year.
Oh, yeah. Call out Scott. He's had Parise since he's been inducted into the NHL, and I would be not surprised if Parise ends up in his team again next year. So he's our guy in our league that we can just be like, you know what?
Later on the fifth round.
Don't have to think about it. You know, all of a sudden we're in this, you know, 60 to 70th forward range, and Parise is coming off the board.
Yeah. We're like, hey, you know who's still left?
Yeah.
Parise.
How can you not draft Parise here?
How this can is you so, not, so value.
He's had a 90-point season. I mean, he's number one on his team, maybe? No, yeah, Parise is a colossal disappointment for sure, and undraftable next year, in my opinion. But someone will.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it unless the value was there. Unless we're like close to the end.
I'd have to be 12th round for me. I think that's the cutoff. Even then, I think I'd rather take a random than Parise, just because
like a rookie with upside.
I just don't trust Parise's injuries and just his. There's just no way.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, let's go to interesting points, either that are happening now or that have happened throughout the year. Just general.
Cool.
General for the whole year.
So we already talked about the 10-game win streak.
Yep.
Not missed the playoffs, so that's pretty cool.
That's kind of crazy. We talked about this just before the podcast, and we were laughing. Brad Marchand gets suspended at 39 goals. He just can't get that 40.
I don't know what goes through this guy's mind.
79th game, spear.
Yeah. In the playoffs, and I'm going to spear this kid. I thought for sure he'd get 2 games. That's what I told my friend Travis. We were talking about this, guessing what his suspension would be. Yeah, he would have got 40 goals. I'm sure he would have got one in the last 2 games.
Yeah, that's nothing to scoff at, 40-goal campaign. Yeah, but now it's like 39.
It's just funny. 39 signs so worse than 40. It's like, 39 goal score? What, you couldn't get 40? Like, what's wrong?
It's like Gretzky needing that 1 point to get the next milestone.
Yeah, it's like, come on. That is hilarious. I mean, he was also suspended twice this year. So what do you do with this guy? You assume suspensions. He seems to be pretty healthy, but I feel like he's going to miss, I think, a guaranteed 5 games per year. Isn't that disgusting that a 39-goal scorer is going to miss 5 games per year from suspensions?
He's still transitioning from his tough guy role to
His pest role. I think he just doesn't know how to turn his thing. He's like, I've been a pest my entire career, and all of a sudden I have 40-goal scorer. Like, how do I turn into like a Crosby, or how do I turn into like a Stamkos where I don't get suspended every year? What do I do?
I'm still a little ball of hate.
A little ball of hate, exactly.
I need to get suspended once at least.
Yeah. People, I have a underdog. People need to recognize me. People need to appreciate me. I'm just spear everyone. Oh my God, he's a weird guy.
All right. Let's. Another interesting thing happened this year. Babcock's first year at the Leafs takes the Leafs to the playoffs. Detroit misses.
Yes, that is scary.
The switch of the coach?
Conspiracy? Who knows? Earth was back about 2nd year as a coach.
I believe. Sorry,
The first time the Wings missed the playoffs
is the
year that Babcock takes his team to the playoffs. So that is super creepy. So on that note, when do you think Detroit makes the playoffs again?
Oh, they need a huge rebuild.
I'm saying 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
They got lots of pieces there. Yeah. Larkin and Mantha. Nyquist, Mantha.
Yeah.
Figure out their defense, though. Their defense Tatar. Is probably the worst in the league.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anyone.
If I had Scott here, who would agree, he would say that he pulls his hair out watching Detroit play. And so, goaltending is still a question mark. Obviously,
Howard.
Howard, yeah. Howard and Mrazek are still kind of, but I would say 4 years on that team. I think Zetterberg will grind it out. They'll miss the playoffs next few years. He'll retire, and then who knows? Maybe even longer, honestly.
Poor Zetterberg.
Poor Zetterberg.
I mean, he has enough cups.
It's hard to feel sad for someone who's had the success Zetterberg has had.
Yeah.
But it just obviously sucks to finish the twilight of your career grinding out nothing, right? Nothing to look forward to in the summer.
Maybe they need Babcock back. Maybe that's their missing piece.
He could be. That's the stuff. Was that the 7th man on the ice? There you go. The 7th. I don't know. That's tough.
All right. Columbus on a 5-game losing streak going into the playoffs.
Yeah, not a real momentum boost there.
I feel like that's terrible for Columbus.
For example, the team who won the cup last year, the Penguins, were on the hottest streak to end the year.
Need to end hot.
They came in guns blazing, like 13 in a row or some stupid number. They were just taking names everywhere they went, and they carried that momentum and just blasted through the playoffs.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah, coming in on a 5-game losing streak to play the same team who just won the cup is going to be pretty demoralizing, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I don't know how many times Tortorella can yell at them before the players just start rolling their eyes and be like, oh my God, like, we get it. Like, we're awful right now. That's tough. So
from the worst team in the league right now to the best team, Winnipeg, has won their last 7 games.
Yeah, Winnipeg looking good.
7 games. And they still finished 7 points back of a playoff spot.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
It just goes to show you what you need to do. You need to have a consistent year all year.
Yeah, you can't just show up and win, like,
10 games in a row, you miss the playoffs. 7 games, 7 points back still. Yeah.
Like, the NHL season is a grind. Everyone says it. From players, they say everyone wants shorter seasons because it's just brutal. Maybe I agree with them. Maybe 82 games is too much. Like, I don't know what they can do to alleviate that, but it is the most grind in sports, I think.
The thing about the 82-game season is you have to build for that. You need 2 goalies.
Yeah.
You need 4 lines. You need everyone to pitch in. You can't be running single line, like, 1 defensive pair and then 1 goalie.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not going to get you through 82 games. You need to round out your team, and teams are starting to realize that.
Yeah, like, you have to. You have to have these young guys. You have to have call-ups that are going to be good. You have to have 2 goalies. You have to have 6D. You have to have almost like 8D.
Yeah,
can call up and down all the time.
Plan for injuries. Yeah. Plan for people that need rest.
And you need, most importantly, luck. You just got to avoid the injuries, man. As good as these good teams are, if you get injured, you just disappear. It's unfortunate. So it's a freaky, freaky season. And when you have 82 games to get injured, that's a lot of time for stuff to go wrong.
Yeah, it is. Okay, since we're going into the playoffs, my most interesting point, Ottawa is the lowest goal differential of a team that's in the playoffs.
What is their differential?
At 0.
What? They're par?
They are par for the course.
Wow, that's a weird
stat. And they are in the playoffs.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but...
they're going to be winning 1-0 games, or...
Yeah. That is a really cool stat. Okay, nothing really to read into it besides that it's just blowing.
That's the stat.
That's unreal.
Washington has the highest with plus 83.
Ooh, that feels good.
They are 30 up on second place.
Yeah.
A goal differential of 30 up.
That would make sense. Holy moly, par, making a playoff team. That seems, that's incredible.
Tampa is actually plus. They didn't make the playoffs.
And they didn't make the team plus, yeah. So I guess when, I don't know what to say. I'm trying to think, like, what gives you par? Like, I mean... You win 2-0, you lose 2-0. You win 2-0. It's just the most up and down team in the league, I guess.
Or you win a bunch of games 1-0, and then you lose
5-0.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get blown out.
Kill your lead the next game. Yeah, that is a cool stat. That is awesome.
Par. All right, and then these last two are just for you, Jesse.
Okay, I'm feeling
so, it. So the highest player not drafted in our league. Any guesses? Or did you look at my paper?
No, I didn't. Well, I would have said Pastrnak because he wasn't drafted, but you did have him at...
Okay, sorry, the highest player not on someone's team right now.
Yeah, okay, I got it. I actually have no idea.
It's Mike Smith.
Mike Smith, my goodness.
Mike Smith, he pulled together an okay season. He started playing a lot more games when he came back from injury.
Yeah, that's true. I guess he probably demoted to me. I didn't even know. I didn't even know he was a even remote worth goalie. That's incredible.
There you go. Not drafted, Mike Smith. Okay, how about the lowest player still on someone's team right now?
Oh, there's got to be someone that's just terrible. man. Ennis? No, I don't think Ennis is off someone's team.
No.
Okay, what is it?
Ribeiro.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't play anymore, right?
I don't think so.
Didn't he get cut? Isn't he AHL or something? I don't even know.
I think so. He is still on someone's team in our league.
That's unreal.
They obviously mailed it in for the last couple months, but he is still on someone's team.
Wow. Well, props to that. Goodness gracious. Hopefully no one in your league has Ribeiro, or if you're the person with Ribeiro, hopefully you're getting some picks next year or something, because that is inexcusable.
Hopefully you sold your team.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Already. All right. Let's just briefly talk about – we're going longer here. Let's talk about some playoff performers and then jump into our kudos, and then we'll just sign off and wrap it up.
Okay. Sounds good.
So, playoff performers that I have written down that you want every year, not necessarily in the regular season, but we got Justin Williams.
Oh, of course. Mr. Game 7.
Conn Smythe.
Conn Smythe winner. Cups for days. Fantastic player in the playoffs. I'm glad he's on my team.
There you go. We got Pavelski.
Yeah, always solid.
Always shows up.
Yeah.
Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
Obviously, as always, a stud. Malkin and Crosby.
Yeah, always point per games in the playoffs, yeah.
Either one of those guys you can get. Patches is actually surprisingly good, over a point per game.
In the playoffs, really?
Very good in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ryan Kessler.
Yeah.
Lots of experience, lots of teams, lots of Stanley Cup runs.
Yeah.
super strong in the playoffs. Eric Staal as well. One of those veteran guys that just seems to...
I mean, he hasn't played in the playoffs in, like, a long time?
It's been a while.
8 years, maybe? Maybe longer? I have to look at it.
But every time he does,
he's... Oh, no, sorry. He was on New York last year, so he played. Oh, it just feels like he's such a ghost. So.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he has tons of playoff experience, and he is a veteran, so that would be great for the Wild.
And then I put a question mark beside Marchand.
Marchand's a playoff stud.
He usually is, yeah. But I mean, he might get suspended. You got anyone else to add to the list of playoff beasts?
Playoff beasts, I would say...
Couture had a good year last year.
He was the first one I was going to mention. Was Couture obviously showed up in the playoffs. He was basically insane in the playoffs. Taves will elevate his game offensively. He's, again, synonymous to me with playoffs. Ovechkin does really well in the playoffs. I know a lot of people think he doesn't and think he's like a big choke artist, but he actually has a really good point per game ratio throughout the playoffs. Backstrom should do really well, same as things.
Do you know any other players other than Washington?
No, but my next one is Tarasenko. Tarasenko is a playoff beast.
Is he? Did he do good last year?
Yeah, he annihilated last year. He scored almost every game last year, it felt like. He's going to be the only player, I think, on that team that's going to do anything for St. Louis. He is definitely a playoff performer I like. For unheralded playoff performers, I'm trying to think if there's any, like, sketcho set. Because normally I would say Killorn here, but they're not in the playoffs. So,
I don't think there's anyone else that jumps out to me.
Yeah, I mean, Pasternak should have a good playoffs.
What about Johansson?
Yeah, Johansson's been decent. Again, more Capitals players. I think every Capital should do okay.
No.
Oh, you mean Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, that just shows a little I care about.
Any other team other than Washington?
Any other Washington? I mean, I'm such a homer. I don't know. Johansson's a weird player. Forsberg's a weird player. I mean, for example, like last year, it was Craig Smith and Colin Wilson led the Nashville in goals. So, I mean, I'll give it out here. It is early. Colin Wilson's my shout out. There you go. Colin Wilson will pick up his game. He'll get like 4 goals in the first series. He's just that good.
Someone else that I thought might pick up their game, Kadri.
Yeah, Kadri should be good.
Like, rough guy, knows how to hit and grind. I think that's what it's going to be like in the playoffs. Same thing like
JVR. JVR is a good playoff player.
Kessel.
Yeah, Kessel for sure, of course.
Fill the thrill.
Kessel, there's a, should have been my disappointment. Kessel only had 23 goals this year.
Yeah.
23 goals. Are you kidding me? He wasn't even injured. 82 games. Good old Kessel. The Rock.
That is crazy, actually.
23 goals. Scores at a 25% pace. That's disgusting.
Is what it is. All right. Let's go on to our kudos for the week, and then we'll wrap it up. Do you guys know where to find us?
Hopefully they do by now, but if you do not know, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Fantasy NHL Talk. Give us your bracket predictions. Give us your end-of-the-season thoughts, slumps. Guys, look forward. We'll take anything we got. We've been obviously on break for a while, so there's going to be tons of questions you can ask and stuff we'll look at.
Yeah, anything that we talked about, interesting players, stuff that you noticed.
What is your biggest disappointment on your team? What is your biggest surprise? I mean, these are things you want to hear about. We have different experiences because we all have different teams. So in general, it's hard to nail everyone down because a lot of us just don't have experience with paying attention to certain teams, right? So, yeah, I mean, if you're an Islanders fan, I'd love to hear it. If you're a Colorado fan, tell us like what you actually think went wrong with your team. We didn't watch any Colorado games. After you watched one, you watched them all. That was it. Who cares? Yeah. Like, I mean, I would love to hear a Colorado fans or some of these bottom teams, Winnipeg fans, of what ideas they have going forward.
I mean, I watched them on SportsCenter with those worst play of the day. Yeah. I watched them a lot of times on there.
I mean, did you ever see that sports clip on Score where it showed them trying to do a breakout?
Yes.
And it was like a 5-minute breakout on Colorado.
And then like Tyson Berry trips.
And then
like,
the guy trips.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bad.
And there's also that breakaway one where he passes it back.
Oh, my man. Yeah.
That was just... That's terrible. All right, you go ahead with your kudos first.
Okay, my kudos is a bizarre one. We played a board game on Friday called Secret Hitler. Pretty cool game. Has aspects of Resistance and other games that, I don't know.
Werewolf people.
Werewolf, yeah. Assuming if you're a board games enthusiast like we are. Really fun game. I enjoyed it. My other kudos is that I won the Yahoo Hockey Pool. I don't know, it doesn't matter to anyone out there, but I was going to say, at least I have some winning pedigree. So, and it shows as long as you make the playoffs, anything can happen in those head-to-head pools. Like I literally came in 5th out of 6th in that pool and just was able to knock off the number 1 spot and the number 2 spot and actually played 4th for the final. So like I said, it was a 4-5 playoff final battle. That's just how weird head-to-head pools can be. So, keep an eye on those. So that was my kudos for the year. And we got a lot of decisions coming up for keeper season. And so that's going to be my next grind is for that for sure. But those are my kudos.
Sweet. I like them. My kudos is to fantasy hockey managers. Just the managers that are playing fantasy hockey. If there was no managers, there'd be no hockey. We would not be doing a podcast. We would not have a pool. You wouldn't have these 10 or 12 guys in leagues that are talking to each other and making friends, having a good time. Yeah. So there's my kudos to all of you guys.
All of us. All you, the fans,
the players. The fans, the players, everyone out there that is.
Very diplomatic kudos. I like it.
Anyone out there that's having fun.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's the point of the hockey pool, right?
Yeah.
It's not about the money. It's not about the winning. It's about berating the player who took Plekanec 8th overall. It's about taking Pasternak after the draft and having monster players. It's all about those cool ups and downs in the seasons. And, it's just – it's a lot of fun, especially if you do it with your friends. Like, we've been doing it for the past, like, 10, 12 years almost.
Yep.
As soon as you get those kind of things, it's just cool. Draft days are the funnest days in the world. It's, like, literally the most important thing. I literally sing it's the most wonderful time of the year, the week before basically draft day, because that's the point of it. And this is one of the strangest and awesomest NHL seasons I've seen in the last 10 years, I think.
Yeah.
I've never seen rookies have such an impact, and I've never seen just awesome hockey.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
And it's fun, and it's better to share it with your friends.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's all we got for today. I wanted to give you a little rundown of what we're going to do next week since playoffs start on Wednesday.
Yes.
We are going to do a wrap-up probably next week, and then we are going to be doing podcasts every round.
Yes.
So once a round is over, we're going to be jumping on and talking about how it went, who's going on, what's happening there, all the way till the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, we'll give you our official playoff predictions once the line the things are all set up. So you can, again, post your predictions along with us on the sites, on the Facebooks, the Twitters. Love to see if you guys agree with some of our things or if you think we're totally wrong. We want to hear it. So we'll give you our team and game predictions. I don't know if we'll go – like, do you want to do, like, a full prediction or you just want to do round by round?
Round by round, because we'll do a new podcast each round.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Perfect.
And then after the Stanley Cup final, we're going to be doing a wrap up the whole year. We'll go over the teams and just talk about the players again, wrap everything up.
Yes.
And then we're into the little bit of the free agency and trades coming up.
And we'll talk about keepers and stuff to look forward to for sure.
It'll probably slow down a little bit after that, but then we'll pick it up with teams after the – no, not the trade deadline, but free agents.
Yeah, free agents start soon. I'd have to look at the – whatever that works for NHL. But yeah, like I said, we'll do the – it's like we started the year with the team-by-team breakdown, talk about players to look at. We'll do that again at the end of the year, say players that met our expectations, didn't meet our expectations and stuff like that, and do like a full comprehensive one. And yeah, set you guys up for the next year, and should be a good time.
All right. Thanks for listening. We will see you later.